Chapter 12. Blood Ties. I stare in the mirror, studying the bruises on my face. Time and ice have brought the swelling down, but the skin is still puffy and purple. It stings every time I blink, and the eye won't stop tearing, which doesn't bode well for concealer. But the alternative is walking around Mother's Keep looking like a tavern brawler. Selin seems not to mind, wearing her bruises with pride. For me, they are a reminder of my shame. I take a pad and load it with powder, wincing as I touch it to my face. Tsk! Mika wasn't gentle, was she? I look up to see Mother standing in the doorway. She closes the door behind her and glides over to the vanity. Let me have a look. I stiffen, but offer no resistance as the Duchess takes my chin in a firm hand, tilting my head to the light to better examine the damage. It looks worse than it is, she says at last. The way you heal, it should be gone in a day. Lucky me, I mutter. You are lucky, Mother says. Lucky to be alive after that stunt you pulled. So you sent Mika to beat me for it and call it training. The words are bitter on my tongue. I know they are not fair, but neither was the position Mother put me in. This is why I wouldn't let Mika train you in the first place. I thought Wanda could do as good a job without... Mother flicks her hand at the bruise. But you're right. I purse my lips, sensing a trap. Right about what? Mother sits back, blowing a tense breath out of her nose. I've sheltered you. Kept you a child for too long. It was selfish of me. And now you're not ready. The words are more conciliatory than I expect, but still vague. Ready for what? Mother walks around the room, running her fingers over the dresses on stands. She lingers by the bed, picking up a cloth doll from Father that has slept with me for as long as I can remember. It was in his image once, though many mendings have lessened the likeness. When you were still in my belly, Mother says, I was summoned to Angiers. One night on the road, I was lured from the wards by a mimic demon that took the form of a friend, calling my name. A chill runs through me, the flesh of my arms pimpling as she goes on. I was alone in the dark, separated from my protectors. By the time I realized what had happened, I was surrounded. Mother leans in closer. They knew me, Olive. They were hunting me. By name, and it worked. I have to swallow a lump in my throat to speak. What happened? I took out my horror wand, and I fought as the calling struck. Mother clutches the doll, her blue eyes going distant as the sky on a cloudless day. As I drew wards to defend myself, I could feel the magic flowing through me, flowing through you. Mother's eyes glitter, and I realize they are welling with tears. You kicked and thrashed in my belly. I didn't know what the power was doing to you. I was afraid I was killing you. She has the doll in a stranglehold now. But what could I do? Stop fighting? Let the demons have us both? So I kept on, and prayed to the Creator you would be all right. I swore if you were, I would never so stupidly endanger you again. She turns and meets my eyes. That was why I didn't want you on the Borough Tor, Olive. I should have told you. And I'm sorry. It's all right. I'm not sure it is, but I'll say anything to ease the tension. Seeing Mother angry is terrifying. Seeing her in tears is more than my nerves can handle. Mother suddenly realizes she is clutching the doll and lets it go, surreptitiously wiping tears as she turns her back to return it to my pillow. Is that why I'm the way I am? I ask. I suspect it's why you're strong, Mother says. Why you heal faster than other folk. Not just because of that time, but all the times I used magic during the war, starting on the night you were conceived. Eyes dried, Mother turns to me again, opening her arms. We embrace, and I feel truly safe for the first time in weeks. I don't want to keep secrets from you any longer, Olive, she whispers. If you're determined to be an adult, I will try to treat you like one and prepare you properly. The words do not comfort me. I am not even sure they were meant to. Stand up straight, the Duchess says. Don't smile, but don't scowl either. If it's a small group, make eye contact with the speakers, but then meet the eye of each in turn, continually, as you reply. If it is a larger group, look just over their heads, and it will seem you are making eye contact with all of them at once. Mother has 1,000 rules like these, a constant litany as I follow her through halls and stand a step back from her right hand through countless meetings. It makes me restless at court, shifting uncomfortably in stylish court gowns I would have been thrilled for an excuse to wear not long ago. When Mother said she meant to prepare me, I thought it would be secrets of magic, or unspoken tales of the demon war, like the one she told in my chambers. Thus far, it has been simply to become the Duchess's shadow, listening to an endless parade of petitioners in open court, and the small councils where the decisions are actually made. I know more than I ever wanted about trade disputes and border patrols, and which barons are late with their taxes, but nothing about the demons Mother believes are hunting me. When I am not at her side, private tutors continue my lessons in the keep, so I am always at Mother's disposal. The calls to stand in her receiving rooms are never ending. Worse in some ways is the change in how I am treated. Servants I used to fear might catch me running in the halls or spilling on the rug now bow and scrape, whispering fearfully after I pass. Ministers and councillors and royals who command vast powers in Hollow are suddenly falling silent when I speak, and refusing to admit I am wrong even when I myself realize I am. Mika was right, that I would favor her lessons over Mother's. Our daily sessions in the Underkeep are now something I look forward to, if only because being punched and kicked and choked unconscious is preferable to sitting through a meeting on the Sanitation Council. Selin, too, has thrown herself into the training. After just a few days with Mika, both of us have advanced enough to see how utterly unprepared we were to face the callings on the Borough Tor. Mother is right about one thing. I will not be unprepared again. Tst, Mika hisses as she plaits my hair. Hold still. The words are familiar, but the woman saying them no longer is. I'm stronger than Mika, but except for that first fight, I haven't been able to land a serious blow on her in the last 2 days of secret training, even as my body has become a mass of contusions. She's left my face alone since that first time, at least. The bruise faded quickly, as Mother said it would. I can find no sign of it in the mirror, as Grandmum works her magic with the powder kit. Today you meet the emissaries of the Marja tribe, Mika says. To them, you represent not just Hollow, but Father and the Kaji tribe. You must look perfect. You must be perfect. And you must not trust anything they say, I finish. Mika has repeated that advice 1,000 times. Do not make light of this, sister, Mika says. I do not know their intentions, but they will not be honorable. How can you know that? I ask. We don't even know why, after all this time, they've opened the border. They've opened nothing, Mika says. No messenger or merchant entering the desert has returned in 15 years. But they are sending their own, I note. Ahman is a spy, Mika cuts in. You would know, I suppose. I try to keep the bite from my tone, but the words are lash enough. I do, Mika agrees. And if you did more with your eyes than paint the lashes, you would know it too. Ahman was not in Pump Forge by accident, sister. And everyone in that caravan spoke Thesan, no matter what they pretended. Likely they trained for years before this mission. What mission? Selin stands a few feet away, practicing her Sharasak forms. To sell us trinkets in some far-flung borough? Not subjected to the time at court, she's used the hours of house arrest to hone her skills, and it pays dividends every time my back hits the practice floor. Mika glances at her. Your stance is too wide. She turns back to her work with a shrug. Who can say what the Maja want? But wisdom dictates they send spies across their border to ensure we have not laid a trap for their emissaries. Mother would never, I start. Don't be so sure. This time it's Grandmum who cuts in. Your mum was a hostage once herself. Sometimes that's how things go. All the more reason she wouldn't do it to anyone else, I say. It is unfortunate, Mika says, but often necessary to ensure enemies and rivals keep to their honour. The Maja are not without hostages of their own. They took father's Maja wife, Belina, and our brother, Irovan, with them into the desert all those years ago, to dissuade father from knocking down their walls when he returned from the abyss. Armanjardir let the Maja keep his wife and son, Selin gapes. Thought your Dar was the most powerful man in the world. Even the Shah Dharma Ka's power has limits, Mika replies. Desert Spear was given to the Maja in good faith, and Belina and Irovan are of that tribe. Honour demands he forbear. She finishes with my hair, as Grandmum puts the finishing touches on my face and removes the cloth protecting my gown. Mika, we look up to see Mother has appeared. I wonder if there is some magic in how she keeps entering without making a sound. Yes, mistress, Mika responds. The Maja emissaries have arrived, Mother says. I believe you know them. One of Mika's eyebrows rises. Oh? Dharma Ting Belina and your half-brother, Irovan. Suddenly, Mother has my full attention. Impossible, Mika says. They are hostages. 15 years ago, perhaps, Mother says. But they are here now. What can you tell me about them? Be on guard, mistress, Mika says. Belina was the most powerful seer of father's Dharma Ting wives, second only to the Damaja herself. She would have made foretellings on this meeting to seek advantage, and may have other magics about her. It would be wise for you to meet in sunlight to neutralize her powers. Mother nods. And Prince Irovan? For once, I am excited for a meeting. No doubt the subject matter will remain dull, trade routes or tariffs or something equally tedious. But one of the negotiators will be my brother. Father has 15 wives and over 70 children, but Mika is the only one of my siblings I have ever met. I have seen him fight, mistress, Mika says. Maja Sharusak is legendary, and my brother is a master. Few of our brothers could match his glory on the battlefield, even disarmed. He is dangerous. Keep Wandavar Flynn at your side and post extra guards at the door. If you wish, I thank you, Mika. Mother cuts in. But this is a delicate negotiation. I don't pretend to understand all the politics of your people, but I know enough to see that your presence would be a complication. Mika bows. Of course, mistress, but Mother holds up a hand. I, too, have cast the bones for this meeting. The Maja will ask for something we do not expect, something precious, but I do not anticipate violence. Mika seems mollified at that, but still looks wary as she escorts us to the council room, eyeing the Marja bodyguards that wait outside with Mother's houseguard. Greet them warmly, Mother reminds me, but you are not to speak during the negotiations. You're here to learn. Yes, Mother, I say. Mother's herald, Kendall Demonsong, is waiting within with the ambassadors as we enter. She wears a fine blouse and breeches in a jongleur's patchwork of colours, with a few buttons of the top undone. While normal in Hollow, the low décolletage would offend our Marja guests, if not for the scarred lines of demon claws across her breast. Such scars are revered in Krasia, something Kendall, Mika's wife, knows well. Kendall executes a sharp bow. Your Grace, may I present Dharma Tingbalina and her son, Prince Iravan Asu Arman Am Jadir Am Marja. Iravan looks to be in his early 30s, tall and handsome in Sharum blacks under an elaborate breastplate of warded glass. He is sleeveless, thick arms corded with muscle and crisscrossed scars. Belina waits for the door to close. Then, among only women and family, she unveils to show a lovely face with the ageless quality of a horror magic user. Too mature to be young, too smooth-skinned to be old. Krasians tend to be tall, but Belina is shy of 5 feet and curvy. Not threatening of stature, but there is something intimidating in her dark eyes. Welcome to Hollow, Belina Var Arman, Iravan Asu Arman. Mother's face is porcelain as she steps forward, Kendall passing her a ceremonial chalice. Share water from our table, and be at peace. It is a Krasian custom Mother researched carefully, an oath of peace placed upon one of the most sacred things to desert people. Water. I accept your water, Leisha Var Erni, Duchess of Hollow, Belina says, taking the chalice and drinking. There is a peace between Hollow and the Marja. Iravan drinks next, then Mother turns to me. May I present my daughter, Olive Var Arman Am Paper Am Hollow?
Paper?
Iravan asks. Mother fixes him with the look. I declined your father's invitation to become his 16th wife, Prince Iravan. Princess Olive is mine. Mine. The word squeezes me, suffocating. Is that what I am to her? To all of these people? A possession? Let us sit. Mother moves to the head of the council table, indicating the seat at her right hand to me, then the one at her left to Belina. Iravan sits beside his mother, then Kendall next to me. Used to kneeling or reclining on pillows, the Krasians sit rigidly in their chairs, taking no support from the backs or arms. Tea? Mother asks. Please, Belina says, and I rise from my seat, reaching for the steaming pot on the surface at the centre of the table. Another ritual, like the one in Achman's tent. I pour for Mother first, then Belina. The two of them drink. Then I pour for Iravan, followed by Kendall. The four of them drink. Only then do I pour my own cup and sit. She pours well, Belina notes. I should. Mother has been teaching me since I was old enough to hold a toy cup. I still might bungle brewing a cure, but I've been able to pour one-handed without spilling a drop since I was 6. Mother smiles. Tea politics are not so different in the north from those of Krasia, but we're not here to discuss my daughter. Belina's face reveals so little, she might as well be veiled. We're here to discuss terms for the inclusion of Desert Spear in your Pact of Free Cities. We would be most pleased to have you, Mother says. Your husband sent messengers to Desert Spear? to invite your emissaries to attend the signing. I am told they never returned. She leaves the question unspoken, but Bellina answers it anyway. The messengers are unharmed, but after we were betrayed, Damagi Aleveron, in his wisdom, declared the border closed. Those men must be returned, unharmed, as you say, before any agreement can be ratified, the Duchess says. The pact holds all its signatories to the same peace. Your blood feud with the Khaji must be set aside. Peace, Bellina agrees. But peace is not friendship. Peace is not enriching those who have wronged you. Forgoing blood does not mean forgiveness. The Duchess sits back, considering the words. If you have no wish to come forward in friendship, why sign the pact? Because betrayal by Evaram's bounty does not mean we wish to be cut off from the other free cities, Irivan says. Because the desert is harsh, and fighting Alagai Sharak in the maze is costly. The Duchess looks at the prince in surprise. Alagai Sharak? The demon war is ended, Prince Irivan. For you Greenlanders, perhaps, Irivan says. But the magic that purged the Alagai from your lands did not reach across the desert wastes. Perhaps not, Mother allows. But the maze was designed for warriors without magic to fight back against the Callings. Armed with warded weapons, you should have swept your lands clean by now. Irivan nods. For a time, we thought we had. There were harsh battles on our return. But Evaram was with us, and we were victorious. We lived in relative peace and prosperity for nearly a decade. But the desert is vast, and now the Alagai have returned in numbers. Without minds to lead them, the sand demons have evolved. They have become cannier, banding together into far-ranging storms that can number in the thousands. If a sand demon storm comes across a village with a gap in its wards, however small, they will find it. Even Desert Spear must raise the defense when one blows our way. The Callings are a plague on all that lives, Mother says. If you require military aid, Hollow, we do not. Bellina cuts in. Forgive me for speaking bluntly, Duchess. But there is always a hidden price to such aid. We will accept no foreign warriors in our lands, and would treat their presence as an act of war. Are not all men brothers in the night? Mother says, paraphrasing from the Avija, the Krasian holy book that defines them as people. Unity against demonkind is the defining tenet of the Avijan peoples. They are, Bellina agrees. But unlike Alagai, soldiers do not disappear when day breaks. Brothers can become enemies as easily as they can lower their night veils. Then what is it you do want? The Duchess asks. Trade routes, Bellina says. Lactonian ships to transport our goods without passing through the territories of New Krasia. Access to northern markets to buy and sell. If what you need is Lactonian ships, why come to me? The Duchess asks. Why not make contact with the Lactonians? We have. The derision in Bellina's tone never reaches her face. They have no love for Krasia, but it is their largest trading partner and has an army on their border. They won't risk helping us without the protection of the pact. And everyone knows the North will agree to whatever Duchess Paper decides. Mother chuckles. Would that it were so. Still, if what you say is true, I see no reason to oppose adding the Marja to the pact. You question our honesty, Bellina notes. Behind Mother, Wanda tenses. Irivan's eyes fix on her. I remember Mika's warning. Marja Sharusark is legendary, and my brother is a master. Kendall's hands slip below the table, no doubt to finger one of the throwing knives I've seen her use to entertain a crowd. She can put one into a gourd atop an assistant's head without cleaving so much as a hair. But Bellina only nods. You are wise to do so, daughter of Ernie. As wisdom dictates, we must question yours. The pact must be sealed in blood. Blood? Mother asks. At her back, wonder has not relaxed. Damaji Aleveron, leader of the Maja, has a grandson, Chadan, Bellina says. He has 17 years and soon will earn his blacks. We are here to negotiate Prince Olive's hand for him. I gasp as my mother's eyes flick to me in irritation. I drop my gaze to the table, trying to center myself. Surprise, anger, fear, and confusion churn to a boil in my stomach as I realize that, like the demons, the appearance of the Maja isn't random. They've come for me. That will not be necessary, Mother says after a long silence. There are other ways to build trust. Your forgiveness, Duchess, Bellina says, but there is nothing so binding as blood. It is a good match. Chadan is handsome, heir to an ancient family with abundant wealth and thousands of warriors at their command. Princess Olive would be Chadan's first wife, with dominion over his household, and her children will one day rule Krasia. Mother waves a hand at the papers on the table, outlining trade routes and tax proposals. Was this all a ruse to give Aleveron's issue a claim to the throne of New Krasia? Nonsense, Bellina says. If that was our wish, we would have gone to my husband directly. He would marry his heir, Prince Kaji, to a Maja princess in an instant, if he thought it would reunify the tribes. This is a union between Maja and Hollow. I clench my fists under the table, as they continue to speak as if I am not in the room, as if I have no say in who I will marry and why. Mother frowns. None of the other cities sealed the pact with blood. Bellina arches an eyebrow. Did you not, Leisha Var Ernie? Hollow would be under Krasia's sandal much as the Southland, had you not bedded my husband. Hey, you can't talk to her like that, I snap, drawing Bellina and Irvin's eyes to me, even as Wanda reaches for her bow. The Duchess raises a finger at me without looking. I can always tell when Mother is angry, and right now, she is furious. Be silent, Olive. The girl paws well, but she is spoiled and willful, Bellina notes, sounding like Mika noting flaws in an item before haggling the price. She has not yet learned her place. Perhaps it would be best to send her away for the negotiations. I want to punch Bellina in her ageless face, but I know it will likely end with Wanda or my brother on the floor and blood feud with the Maja. I grind my teeth, making no effort to remove myself. There aren't going to be any negotiations, Mother says. I think you have misunderstood Hollow's role in these talks, Dharmating. So please allow me to make one thing perfectly clear. I will not marry my daughter to settle her father's disputes. There is nothing to discuss or debate. No argument to make or dower great enough. Olive will marry, or not, at her own liberty. I want to laugh. Liberty? From the woman who just told me to be silent? The woman who not long ago was speaking of the army of prospective suitors awaiting permission to approach? I may be safe from this match, but liberty is one thing I will never have. The Alagai Hora demand it, Bellina says. If Olive Paper does not join her blood with Marja, Desert Spear will fall. The words fall heavily upon me. What does that mean? The dice do not lie, but neither is their truth ever completely clear. Will people die if I don't go? You must not trust anything they say. I hear Mika's voice in my head, as clearly as if she were beside me. It is sin for a Darmating to bear false witness against the dice, but that doesn't mean it's never been done. Mother is unmoved. If that is so, it will be because you are too stubborn and mistrustful to accept aid offered in good faith. Let us adjourn for the day. Mother rises smoothly from her seat, open hands spread with palms showing. We have assigned your delegation a walled manse for the duration of your stay. There are stables and yard for your wagons and animals, and rooms for you and your staff. Take time to consider. There is nothing to consider, daughter of Ernie, Billina says. The Avija teaches us there is no trust without ties of blood. Are you certain you will not entertain the match? Mother raises her chin. Not for an instant. Then there is no point in continuing these negotiations. Billina rises as well. We apologize for wasting your time. Tomorrow we return to Desert Spear. You can't be serious, Mother says. Now it is Billina who lifts her chin as she draws her veil back over her face, as serious as a storm. Indeed, despite Mother's increasingly generous entreaties, the Krasians begin packing immediately, and the next morning, they are gone.